howling and gnashing of teeth, corporal punishment, and biblical verses that are omitted from the readings because they are the opposite of our idea of the good news, this is what we encounter in today's uncomfortable and difficult texts. But perhaps drastic words are just right in a summer when drastic images go around the world. The picture of drowned 2-year-old Valeria with her father in the Rio Grande, the picture of Captain Capolarachete being taken away by the police after having rescued refugees in the Mediterranean, the picture of fires and drought on the one hand, floods on the other, and so on. In fact, these unreadly texts have something to say in the situation. Both readings are aimed at people in communities who have to deal with disappointed expectations. The final chapter of Isaiah responds to the disillusionment of the post-exilic period. There is a longing of the people for the promised salvation and the disappointment about his absence. The writer answers this question in a visionary way because the prophetic perspective widens into a universal perspective. Yahweh is not only the God of Israel, but the God of all nations. They will come to see the glory of Yahweh's presence. Thus, salvation is also for the others, those who are other, or those who come from different nations from far away. And perhaps we can also say that salvation comes with and through others, for they are involved in the new creation. They contribute something. The author of the epistle to the Hebrews also tries to encourage a disappointed community. The parousia doesn't happen. Doubt is breeding. Of course, this is not our situation. And the comparison that believers have to endure the punishment of the Lord, like children the punishment of their parents, is difficult to bear for us today. In fact, the text is only accessible to us in a very limited extent. But we also know situations of disappointed expectations and hopelessness in private life and in public affairs. In this situation, the reading offers a motivation to persevere. And this motivation is a form of faith. Faith as a basic trust that we are held, that there's hope for a future that will go on somehow. On this basis, the gospel then introduces the moment of decision. Trust is important, but something must be added. The gospel of the day is preceded by two other narratives about the kingdom of God, that of the mustard seed and that of the leaven. They talk of slow growth and mercy, while our text emphasizes the hard cut. We find both in Luke. Well, in today's difficult gospel, the question of decisiveness arises. Being a Christian is not only a state of mind. It requires a decision, how we want to live as Christians. This decisiveness is demanded with force. Mustard seed and leaven fade next to these words. When the gospel says, all the prophets will be in the kingdom of God and you yourself cast out, the word you hits us in our comfortable security. We, the righteous, who consider ourselves on the safe side, we have done wrong. Me, I always have, I always try, I belong to the good ones. But it's not that simple. Often in us, we ignore the injustice in which we participate. These are those small tribbles in everyday life, when we lie to our advantage, when we hurt or exclude others. The gospel very vividly defines the lack of access to the kingdom of God as non-participation. What follows from this for the dawn of the kingdom of God in our time when so many are denied participation and belonging? And how do we participate in it? And this leads us to the question of our involvement. Now, we often only half-heartedly try to solve the great problems of our time. Migrants? Yes, but not in my neighborhood. Fight climate change? Of course, as long as nothing has to change for me. And anyway, I can't change it on my own. It is important to recognize that we are all entangled in or the structural guilt, but it would be wrong to conclude from this that we will not be able to change anything and that consequently it does not matter if we do anything at all. No. To say it with Oscar Romero, we cannot do everything. And there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. Here again, faith of trust comes into play. It is a liberating faith that enables us to act, to do something, knowing that we can't do everything. And besides, we are not only entangled in a web of injustice and guilt, but also in a web of relationships. We live in communities. The first reading reminds us that these communities are not defined ones at all and excluding others with their stable boundaries, but they can change. Isaiah suggests that those from distant nations and islands become brothers and sisters. By acting together, different people build an inclusive community. We can form communities across borders, enrich one another, work for common goals in solidarity. And it is actually happening in the initiatives that work with refugees or where people are resolutely committed to sea rescue, in groups that protest against climate change, or where alternative lifestyles are implemented. And wherever people fight against exclusion and the denial of respect to others. Examples for the dawn of the kingdom of God, based on conscious decision.